Okay, let's take out your Bible, Psalms 139. Take out your smartphone or whatever. You can read your scriptures. And you know, from time to time, Canada, just like many countries, have census. So the last one, maybe the one before, many years ago, a mother was asked by a census taker how many children she had. And she has a very big, large family, so it must be a very long time ago, this census. And she started to name their children, you know, her children. Billy, David Tong, Henry, you know, Martha, you know, she just kept reading and, you know, tried to remember all the names because she had more than 10 kids. As she named the names, you know, this census taker is getting a little bit impatient about, you know, the names, because he was not going to write down the names. So he said, never mind the names, just give me the number. I just need to know how many kids do you have. And then the mother got really annoyed, and then she said to the man, you know, they don't have numbers. They all have names. And I think this is a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that's supposed to be. He knows each one of us by name, not numbers. You know, the government doesn't know you and me personally, because there might be two or three stand men in their list, you know. So they need to figure out who is the stand man living in 23 Oakley. So they have numbers for us. But for God, we have same names, even to him. But it doesn't really matter, because he knows each one of us. For us, Revenue Canada treat us like a number, but to God, only he knows our names. Names, you heard that before, it's very important. You know, Hebrew culture, Greek culture, names represent a lot, knowing that person personally. So God knows our names, and that means he knows each one of us. Just like 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stand firm, sealed it with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his. So God knows each one of us sitting here today, many, many more. And today we're going to read Psalm 139, the whole passage. But of course, we don't go through the whole thing. We don't even read the whole thing, because it's just too long. But you can read along as we read these Psalms together. There are a few points that I want to share with you. The first point is, of course, the scope of God's knowledge. If you look at Psalm 139, you will see even the first six verses just give you a glimpse of how much God really knows each one of us. And then at the first point, I want to see, you see, the verse one is very important. Oh Lord, the word Lord is a covenant relationship name for God. Well, in English, you will see Jehovah, the old term for God. And that means God has a covenant with his people. And he used this name, Lord, capital letters, to express this relationship. A lot of people, when they hear covenant, the old covenant, you know, New Covenant, then we automatically think about laws, you know, regulations, all these things. But you need to understand that when God tells us that he builds relationship with that covenant, he actually talking about relationship with him. It's not just about laying out all kinds of Ten Commandments, laws coming afterwards, just to tell us what to do. He wants to start with the relationship that we have, and based on this covenant, how to maintain this relationship going forward. So this is a relationship first, the term, O Lord. David is telling us that, you know, based on these relationships, God knows each one of us. And you may be scared. I may be scared. You know, someone tells you that I know you very, very well, but you have no idea who that person is. Just like the apps that you have on your phone, you know, those apps, I think they know you sometimes more than you think. And you may be, you know, you don't want to think about it. I think they know where you are, you know, locations, what you do, your preference. You know those things. You know, Facebook knows a lot of stuff about you. And then they actually, you know, that they actually give you the commercials based on your preferences. So a lot of apps know you better than your parents. And if you look at this, you know that God knows us in a very, very personal way. So he's talking about this covenant, this relationship. Start with this, and he said that because of these relationships, God wants to know you more and know me more. So this is what happens. O Lord, you have searched me. Well, can you show the slide one? The word search in original language means, can you show it at the back too? Oh, it's not on. Just like search is digging, you dig something metal, especially metal from the ground. So if you look at this, it's the people trying to get some, I believe, gold. And they really have to go through all these steps in order to solid out the gold from all these dirt, soil. And this really means that word search. You have searched me and you know me. So God is digging and trying to figure out who you are. You see these words, and then along with the other words, I think it's talking about even a whole lot bigger than just like an app, know your preference, know where you are at. The word search, and then later on the word discern, have a similar meaning. You have to go through this very, very careful at each step, to get little tiny goals from all these dirt that they can collect and try to sort it out. And just like archaeologists, you take out the stuff, you find out something, and then you're starting to clean up the dust, very carefully, trying to find out what you are getting. So the word search tells us that God takes time. Dig into our lives and try to figure out who we are. Well, you have to understand that God doesn't need to do that. Those are the words that Dave used to express, that detail, that deeper understanding of God doing in our lives. It's not just a casual acquaintance. A lot of time we just say, hi, how are you? We have a lot of friends on Facebook. We have a lot of friends through today's. And you don't really know them, they don't really know you. You just follow somebody or somebody follow you and all these things. And they don't really know you as much as, your spouse, your parents. And then God is even further, it's deeper. He's talking about his deeper understanding of who we are. So this is what Dave is talking about. Have searched me and you know me. And that word know, of course, you already heard that many, many times. It's about personal experience type of know. It's not just about knowledge. And he's doing this deep search in our lives. And you might be thinking, wow, that is scary. Just like U.S., a lot of big countries, powerful countries, they have a very, military satellites looking all every day what's happening on Earth. Those countries that have so-called terrorist groups. And they are looking. And like I said, many apps know you better than your parents, your preference, what you like. Your parents might not even know what you like, but they know much more. Then when we talk about God, who is the creator of the universe, who created each one of us, he made each one of us, of course he knows much better than anything else. And then he knows your thoughts. If you look at verse 1 to 6, he basically tells us that God knows every day what you do, what you are thinking. Your thoughts, not just your behavior, your thoughts too. And sometimes we are scared of people know us so much. That's why we stay away from personal interaction with other people. But there's an advantage for God knowing us. I will tell you later. And then there's another word, like I said, the word in verse 3, discern. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. The word discerns, you look at this, it's a window. You take the grains up in the air, and hopefully the wind will carry the chaff out, and you get the grains, the real stuff. And this is what search discern means. And God is very careful, try to figure out who we are, For the purpose of just knowing you, you think? I think it's more than that. Because if you read this passage, I think God is telling us something deeper than just he wants us to know. He wants to know us deeper. Because he already knows each one of us. But Dave is trying to express to us in these Psalms, he's telling us that God is carefully and then go deeper to know who we are. I think there's a purpose for doing that. If you look at this wheat note, the grain, you will see that God is trying to figure out the real me. And this Psalms is trying to tell you that God has ability to know who you are and who I am. There's a story about a farmer. You know, a lot of time we are afraid to be known by other people or by God because there's so many things in our hearts, in our thoughts, that we rather not let people know about it. But God, you know, through these Psalms telling us that he actually knows because he do searching. He's discerning us. As I said, those words means a whole lot more than just we think, you know, get to know somebody. It's go deeper. And we may be thinking, oh, well, I don't really like that because I don't want God to find out who we are, who I am. And the story about this farmer, you know, he has a small patch of corn, but he's not doing really well. And he saw his neighbor's corn, is doing really well. So he thought maybe I should borrow some corn from his neighbor's field because that field has a better yield of corn. So he took a bag, put it under his arm. He took his son because he thought he's going to borrow quite a bit, I think, because he asked his sons to come along. So he quietly went to the farthest corner of the field. He looked carefully to the right, to the left, and even ahead of him, behind him. And then he was ready to go, and he was ready to grab the first corn. And then his son kind of poked him, and he turned around and looked at his son. Daddy, you forgot to look up. You know, a lot of time we think we can do a lot of things that people would not realize what we are doing in secrets. But God knows. Just like those words suggesting to us, though, every action, every thought that we have in our lives, God search, God discern. He goes deeper. Well, are you afraid of God? Am I afraid of God? If he, you know, Dave's telling us that he is doing this in our lives, what would be our response? The point two that I want to share with you is in verse 23 and 24. Can you read verses 23 and 24? I jump to the conclusion now, and then I will come back a little bit later. If you look at verses 23 and 24, you know, Dave wrote these beautiful psalms about, you know, how God created human being, each one of us. He knows our thoughts. He creates. He knows us even when we are in the womb. You know, those beautiful words that express this relationship, how intimate God wants us to be with him. And then it comes to verse 23 and 24. You know, the conclusion is not same as what we think. Because when we figure out, you know, when we heard news, when we watch news and say somebody steal our informations, you know, just a few weeks ago, you know, I heard from the news the Russian, what do you call those, you know, you break in your computer stuff? Hackers. They stole over a billion, you know, passwords. Your information quietly for a period of time. And they just figure out lately that, you know, the hackers from Russia, you know, stole over a billion people information. Are you afraid? You would say, well, they asked you to change password. eBay asked you to change password, remember, a month ago? Because their information was stolen too. So nowadays, it's very hard for us to trust websites. Even though they say, you know, there's so many security devices, apps, software, but the hackers, they're good at breaking all those things. What would be your reaction when you hear those news? You know, your personal information could be stolen. The reaction could be, you know, you're afraid, you go to change the eBay password. I did, you know, I went to change my eBay passwords. Those are reactions. So what would be your reaction when you read these Psalms, you know, God is searching, going deeper and deeper, digging into your lives, you know, to know you better. Those are the description from a human point of view, okay? He doesn't need to. He already knows you in and out. He knows me in and out. Your reaction, what would be your reaction? If you look at David's reaction, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If you look at verses 23 and 24, he was not afraid to be searched by God. Because in the first verse 1, have searched. If you look at NIV, it says, O Lord, you have searched. The word is in perfect tense, meaning that God has been doing this and the effects continue to carry on. But in verse 23, if you look at verses 23 and 24, there's a six verbs in these two little tiny verses. You know, in Hebrew, there are so many verbs packed in such a small area, these two verses. Then you know that this is a very important verse. Verse 23 and 24. There are six verbs, and they are all in the same category, imperative. David is not commanding God to search him, because the word imperative in Hebrew can be used, commonly is direct command. But another use is for granting permission or communicating a request. David is actually asking God to continue to search his life. And this is his reaction. After he wrote the first, you know, big part of the Psalms, and our reaction could be scary. You know, God knows us so well. You know, I have no place to hide. You know, it's just natural reaction. Just like I said, you know, a lot of people steal your personal informations. And so many Google apps and knows where you are at. All those things. Your reaction could be, you know, can I turn it off? You know, people say, can I turn off that app? That they won't be able to find my location. But for David, he actually go around and then say this, another opposite. He said, God, please, I give you a request. I ask you permission. I give you a permission. Actually, I communicate a request that you continue to search my life. And that is the natural reaction, I think, for all brothers and sisters, for those we say have relationship with God. If you look at this, I think this is a beautifully made or written verse 23. David is asking God to continue to search his life, and he knows my heart. You see, verse 23, like many Hebrew texts, they are in a parallel situation. So you can see verse 23, search me could be means text me, attacks me. You know, you try me, just like those, this one. You know, you get the stuff out, then you have to refine the goal, you know, to get a pure goal. So this is like test me, try me, and know my ancient thoughts. I think this is a very interesting word in Hebrew, because it's not just about thoughts. It's about something that you are not at peace, that type of thoughts. When are you not in peace? When do you have anxious thoughts? You know, that's the purpose for David to ask God to continue to search his life. And I said that, you know, earlier, I said that God knows us really well. He digs into our lives. He really wants to know us. And your reaction, what would be your reaction? You may be scared, you know, you want to walk away from God. And then David said, no, I try, you know, I go to different places, you know, try to hide from God, but I figure out it's impossible. And then he accepts the fact that actually it's better for God to know him better. Verse 23. A lot of people do not want to be find out our secrets, including myself. Who wants to be find out, you know, your secrets, my secrets? But I think David is telling us that all these secrets that we have, so-called, the sinful behaviors and thoughts that we have, actually cause all this anxiety in our lives. And then David is telling us that it's better for God to figure out, you know, what is my problem in my life? What is the problem that caused all this anxiety in my life? It's not just know how bad you are. You know, we sometimes are human nature. We love to know, you know, how bad, what have you done in your life? You know, it's just like a gossip. We enjoy gossiping. You know, if you figure out, oh, somebody have done this, then you just, whoa, information is power. The more you know, you think you have more power. So that's why people love to find out more. We use those information to destroy people. We use those informations to, you know, step on people. But David is telling us that he's searching, he's asking God to continue to search his life so that he will figure out his anxiety, so that he knows God has an answer for his problem. Because in verse 24, similar ideas. See if there's any offensive way in me. He was talking about the secrets that we have in our lives. God is not just wanting to know your secrets, my secrets, because he already knows. So David is not talking about that. David is going deeper. He's saying that why we are doing what we are doing. And that causes anxiety in our lives. That we have sinned against God, against people. He is asking God to give him the answer, not just knowing what he has done, but give him the answer why he is doing what he is doing. And I think it's just wonderful, because a lot of us taking medications, not a lot of us, I mean maybe some of us, or some people going to see counselors. You know, we try to figure out, you know, what is my problem in my life? How come I have these habits of doing this and thinking about that? And some human being, you know, Christian, very professional, educated people try to help you and help me. But there's only so much they can help you. But if you look at verse 23 and 24, then we know that God goes beyond that. Dave is very smart. He knows the answer is not to run away from God, but actually ask God to come into his life to tell him what is the root of his problems. And I think that's very important. But at the same time, I want you to know that, beside this passage expressed the intimacy. God knows very deep about you and me. This is expression of intimacy. This is expression that, you know, God is inviting you to join him. Because I will tell you that this is more than just a one-way direction, that type of relationship. It's not just a one side, God knows you really well, God knows me really well, so what? What is he asking me to do? Verse 23 and 24 is one of the reaction. David actually asked God to do more because he believed that God loves him. Despite all these secret things that we have in our lives, our thought life, our behavior, we have to understand that with this courage to invite God to know him even more, he believes that God truly loves him and accept who he is. Because in verse 1, he already said that, O Lord, he believes God is the God who really loves his people. Based on that, he said that, God, please come to know me better, because I think if you know me better, I don't have to be worried. You know, a lot of people, we don't want to tell secrets because we don't want to be rejected by other people. We don't want to lose love by other people. So we don't want to tell anybody because we think rejection will come right away. But this verse is telling us that God still loves David. He knows that. Despite all these evil things that he has done, if you look at his life, you know that. He believes God still loves him. And there's nothing you can do more to make him love you more or less. Do you believe that? The point is, I don't want you to be scared of coming closer to God, to have this intimate relationship with Him. These Psalms express the idea God intimately knows each one of us. In return, I think he has a message for us. You might think, wow, this is awesome. You know, God knows us really well. I'm very happy that God knows me really well. So what, you know? And then I think there's a message for each one of us today. I think David is not telling us that, you know, God is just know us intimately. As I say, it's like a one-way direction. I think in this psalm, if you read this, you will see the reaction, the conclusion that he makes in 23 and 24. It tells us that he's not afraid to be known by God. He's not afraid to come closer to God. But I think there's another expression in the previous verses. If you read verses 17 to 22, if you have time, or as you open up your Bible and your iPad or whatever phone you are using, you will see in verses 17 to 22, David was, what did he say? He said, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." You know, if you look at these Psalms, you know that he was talking about the thoughts of creation, the thoughts of knowing him. So he was talking about, you know, God had put in so much thoughts about knowing this guy and knowing each human being. And so he was talking about, you know, how precious to me are your thoughts. So he was just, where were I to count them? They would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. He was talking about the assurance that God is still with him, you know, even his phantom of all these wonderful thoughts about God's creation, God's caring, intimate relationship, how deep, how desperate that God wants to know this guy. And he wants to tell God that, you know, it's nothing wrong. I appreciate that. I love to be known. And then I think if you go down in verse 19 to 22, he was talking about God's enemy. And then he said, "Your enemy is my enemy." Well, I think the language, you might not like the language, but if you look at those dates, this is one of the ways to say that, you know, your enemy is my enemy. That means we are what? We are buddies. We are friends. So David is talking about, you know, God, your enemy is my enemy. A lot of time you say, my enemy is your enemy, God. But this time he said, your enemy is my enemy. He's taking a step forward and get closer to God. And I think this is very important. Knowing God knows him, his secret, everything in his life, he's not afraid to get closer to God. And he comes to God positively, thinking that, you know, your enemy is my enemy. That means we are friends. We need to be closer. And then verse 23 and 24 is like a conclusion. You say, God, come to search me, because I know the answers. You have the answer of my problems. And the last one said, lead me in the way everlasting. I think there's a message for us today. I think in John, Psalms express this really well. But usually we have a problem. How come it doesn't show it again? Well, if you look at this passage, verse 6, you know verse 6 really well. We use it a lot. We quote it a lot. I am the way of the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then we need to carry on this conversation. Because if you look at it, you say, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said something like that. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. What a wonderful answer. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Now, my questions, I want to ask you the same question. I want to ask myself the same questions. If Jesus asked me, don't you know me, Stan, even after I've been among you such a long time, Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? The word show is really just a show, a PowerPoint, audio, visual. I just checked the Greek meaning of this word, show. Philip is asking Jesus, give me a PowerPoint about who God is. Or give me a video clip of who God is. Like Sam, show us some picture of while watching. Just show me. Visually, audio is just like now, you know, your pastor is standing here telling you, you know, God's intimate relationship with you. Philip is asking, show us who God is. And it will be enough. You know, I will be happy. Sadly, many Christians are like that today. We want people to show us who God is. And then you will say, that's enough, you know. I love to see, you know, how pastor react to God, you know, how he faithfully serve God, you know, in trials, you know, how he react to God, you know. It's just a good show, you know. He you know, whether he's doing well or he failed, you know, at least it's a show I can watch. And that's enough about me for me to know God. Is it true? Well, before we're watching, I have seen so many, you know, TV Discovery Channel, you know, Oasis Channel about weight watching. Is it same? No, right? I don't know, the whale is so big, you know, but it looks big on TV. It might be enough for me for weight watching because some of my family members cannot get on the boat. So it will never happen to me to do the real weight watching. Is it enough for you to know God? Just like Jesus said, you know, Philip said that, you know, just show us, give me a PowerPoint, give me a Sunday school, give me some, you know, materials on the website, let me look at it, and then I will be a better Christian. I don't think so, brothers and sisters. I give you a personal experience. You know, I watch YouTube. How about how to fix cars? You know, my car has problems. So I go to YouTube and see how that can be fixed. And 50% of the time I fail when I try. After I watch it. You know why? Because either I don't have a guts, because I'm afraid I may break something, or I don't have enough power to, you know, unscrew the nuts. I might not have enough tools. But when I was successful to repair my car, I was so proud of myself. And the journey was not the same. Watching the people doing it on YouTube, it was so easy. But I was doing it myself. I have to implement almost every single time when I try to repair something. What I want to say is, seeing it is not the same as doing it. Show God to me. It's not the same as I know who God is. You heard this many times. So Sam, this morning, gave you the well-watching illustrations, personal experience, and I just give you my personal experience about fixing my cars. My questions for you. Maybe in fellowship time you can share with each other. What is your illustrations in your own life? Do you have similar illustration that you can share with other people? You know, I thought whale watching is like that. Whoa, but this is real. It's totally different. It's awesome, man. I took 200 pictures. And then at the end, I figured out maybe I should watch it myself. I see people fixing cars, you know, YouTube. Yeah, when I pick up my tools, I'm starting to do it. It's not the same. God is inviting you and me to be known by him and know him, not just to be known by him. I think he's telling us that through these Psalms, through this passage, Philip's answer and how Jesus responded to him. He's telling us that we should to get to know, really know him. The assignment that I just gave you. Seriously, this is assignment. In the fellowship time, I'm not sure you have time or you have this mood to just say, you know, something like that, like what Sam said, what I said. I thought this is, and then actually when I experienced it, this is awesome. STM went to do ministry. Some of them, first time. They heard it many times, people sharing STM, but this time they are doing it themselves. Is it different? I'm sure they can share with you. What they heard, what they have seen, it's not the same as they actually doing it themselves. Come to know God, brothers and sisters, because I think he has the answer for our problems. And this is what David is talking about. Lead me in the way of everlasting. He's not just knowing you. David is not just inviting him to know him better. He's knowing his root problems, his sinful ways, his sinful nature. So as we ask God to come to know us better, there's a purpose for doing that. I think David is inviting God doing the same thing, so that he can lead my way everlasting, so that I can walk with God, knowing, you know, really my problem, what the problem is, you know, why am I doing this all the time? Why am I criticizing people all the time? Why am I have these terrible thoughts all the time? You know, figure out this. God is going to figure this out for you. Of course, we have to respond to that, the last step. No, God telling you, no, this is your problem. Okay, thank you. That'll be enough. Just like Philip says. I don't think you should say that. I don't think I should say that. Because if you want to walk with God, just like lead me in a way everlasting, I think this is the step we need to take. We need to humble ourselves and respond to God. And he's asking this intimate relationship because it's, at the end, it's good for you and good for me, because our way of life will be different. Without much fear, without much anxiety, if you truly allow him to come into your life and you respond by moving forward. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for these Psalms. It's a beautifully written, not just about all-knowing God. I think inside this psalm is telling us your intention, the intimate God that one really wants to know each one of us. But Lord, my question for each one of us is, how do we respond to this knowledge that you search our hearts, that you discern our thoughts? Would we, like David, invite you to come? We give you permission, we're asking, giving you a request that you come and do more searching and do more testing in our lives. Because you are the only one can figure out our deeper weakness and our deeper problem in our lives. Lord, we just ask you to help us to have this courage, this appreciation, that we will go forward and come to know you better. My prayer is that we will never say something like Philip says. Just show us who God is, and that will be enough. Lord, we pray that we will never satisfy with just seeing who God is. Lord, we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.